Good evening, everybody. It is Saturday, June 17th, 2017, and you are listening to Three Geek Senate. The Senate is now in session, and tonight we have all three senators here, myself, Brian J. Cano.
And myself, Paul Bradford.
And myself, Robert Buxar.
So, I don't think we have a topic here tonight, so what's going on?
I don't know, you tell me.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to talk about anything and everything. Everything.
We'll just talk about it. Let's get into it.
The Geek Senate. The geeks. The land of the geeks. No, this sucks.
Oh, you're fired. Get
this
out.
This is horrible. I hate every minute I just did that.
I'm calling HR right now. I'm having to remove.
Building. We're going to need to. This is the
you're
two
terminated.
Geek Senate.
We're going to have a recall vote. We're going to recall Senator Bradford.
Yeah. I just got impeached.
Put him in the Bradford bag.
We're gonna have a surprise vote session to see. You have no time to prep for this.
I mean, call for an Article 3 session. The senator has rights. The senator has rights.
Oh wait a minute! Shit, I'm trying to think of what the thing is from Star Wars where they give Palpatine.
Order 66.
They have the vote of no confidence.
Are we calling for a vote of no confidence? Didn't Jar Jar? Right. Do that? No.
He's the one that started it.
He's the one who started the emergency
he
powers.
Got rid of, he got rid of Chancellor Valorum
He gave Palpatine emergency powers.
That's what I was talking about, emergency power.
Palpatine called for the vote of no confidence through Amidala.
Right. But I was thinking of the emergency power. That's what I was thinking of.
All right.
Anyway, sorry.
This is the episode where Rob finally divulges his Star Wars theory.
Ooh. Yeah, but see that was
by getting caught off guard.
I did. I got caught, and I wanted to do was just touch on the thing that I think Han has Force powers. And
he
you
just
all,
wants to touch Han's thing. This is back to fan fiction.
That's all fair enough. You just wanted to touch his.
I just wanted to touch his T-111 blaster. That's all.
His wrinkly weathered balls.
Oh.
I just wanted to cradle them ever so gently.
It was
with Paul's hands.
Was that Big Daddy? I think that was Big Daddy.
Wow, way to go straight off into that one. So you're talking about Harrison Ford's wrinkly balls, and then you go straight into Big Daddy.
Yeah, that's what
that
we
says
do.
A lot for a. That's like a that's a, so Freud has something to say about that. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Shit, I actually referenced an Adam Sadler movie.
Way that's to go. Again, I'm calling HR and having you removed from the payroll exist.
So the evidence mounts. All the charges against Senator Bradford are stacking.
We still need to talk about Wonder Woman at some point. So.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll see it this weekend.
Well, Paul can voice his disappointment and everything about Wonder Woman. Because it wasn't a Marvel flick.
You know what? It didn't. Well, it definitely didn't feel that way. I'm gonna do what I do with Adam Sadler movies. I'm gonna have to rank it based on DC movies. I can't base it on movies.
They've been pretty bad lately. Like so.
I go original Superman, The Dark Knight, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It was a very good movie, and it did definitely put. The most recent Batman, Superman, and Superman movie. You know,
This should have been their Iron Man.
This should have been what they started with, honestly, because it wasn't great. It was good.
Would have been a good way
opinion.
To ease people into this world.
I thought it was better than good. I thought it was great. Fantastic.
They're great.
It was as good as, say, The Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Better than that.
No,
better than that.
I mean,
way better.
All right, so here's the thing. Okay, let's put the pin in this because I'll have to be the tiebreaker.
Right. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be a debate of the ages, right? I'm going to tell you right now.
This is going to be a mass debate, huh?
I did love.
Oh, this is going to. I'll be a master debater.
I did love seeing the social media exchange between Gal Gadot saying, "Hey, who would win, Thor or Wonder Woman?"
Thor,
Chris Hemsworth was like, "Hey, yeah, she's gonna win," and she's like, "I knew I liked you."
I actually came across that on Twitter shortly after it happened. That's why I posted it on our. I put it up on our stuff, and I was like, "This is just fun. This is just fun. This is what Twitter is so good at is having things cross that you wouldn't expect to cross and having them interact.
This is the
like
Marvel
that.
DC crossover we'll never get. This is as close as
This is the amalgam universe.
Yes.
So I think I'm wearing my tearaway pants.
Yeah. Just
kidding. Hey, look out! You know why?
Party boy. Because
I was trying to get paid, but it just didn't happen.
We ain't gonna get paid.
I couldn't get excited about it. I was gonna tear him off and be like, "We's about to get paid."
We's not gonna get paid.
Yeah, nobody's throwing money at me.
Well, see, I've always wanted to do opposite. Like, all right, there's breakaway pants, you just rip them off. I want to be wearing boxer shorts. Just grab just a handful of denim and pow, put them on. Like the exact opposite. Like Snap-on bracelets,
Almighty,
but for
Bruce
pants.
Bruce Almighty in reverse.
It's just like, you
when
know,
Bruce
you
Almighty's standing in front of the bed, yes. He's like, he throws his arms out and the clothes just fly off.
Pow!
Amazing.
How you like me now?
All I think is, pow, right in the kisser.
Pow, right in the kisser. Pow, right in the kisser.
God, that was just a horrible episode. Well, the meaning behind it was horrible either way. Hold on just a second. I will be right back.
He's got to empty the Buxar bag.
He's going to go into his Buxar bag.
See, and this week, we're not even going to explain it. It's like you're going to have to listen to the prior episode what the Buxar bag is all about.
But, apparently, it's between Ashport and like a 6 to get it.
Is that you all or me? Like, I'm getting some real bad breakup
Now Paul
here.
Is getting Matrix-y.
Did you pick up the phone?
No, I've been on the phone the whole time.
Did you pick up the phone on the desk? Did you find the way out?
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Oh, hey guys.
That reference is 18 years old. It took us a second to buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, now that you guys drew me that picture, I got it.
Wait. Is this a secure line?
No, it's not. It's not a secure line.
Oh, damn. Operator?
Mr. Bradford, welcome back.
We have been watching you for some time now.
We've missed you.
God, you know, they've actually talked about making another Matrix movie.
You know why? Because Keanu Reeves doesn't age.
But after he did the last John Wick movie, all of a sudden there was this, after seeing him with Lawrence Fishburne on screen, they were like, we kind of thinking about doing another Matrix movie.
Yeah, but Lawrence Fishburne, I honestly thought that whole part was wasted.
It was weak. It was so, I expected like a wink and a nod. Right. You know, I expected a wink and a nod in there. And there was nothing.
Something, and it was just like Lawrence Fishburne, his character was so
it would have been so great if he would have just looked at him and said, so he just kind of looked at Keanu Reeves and he's like, so you're the one, you know, something like it, just a little wink and a nod.
Somebody, I read this somewhere and it might be one of you guys, I can't honestly remember, there was a somebody asked
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I posted this to
That was you, was it? Okay. How somebody asked Robert Downey Jr. if there would. Oh, was it James Gunn? I don't remember who they asked.
Somebody posted
something.
Robert Downey Jr. had posted one of his live streams saying, hey, you can enter the contest and join me on the set of the Avengers. And somebody commented.
Anything, sort of
they
thing.
Said it would make my year, it would totally validate my existence if in the next Avengers movie. Something happens, and someone in the scene goes, "No shit, Sherlock."
Yeah,
and both
yeah.
Iron Man and Doctor Strange will look at each other like, "Hmm."
Right. Hmm. God, that would be so good.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing.
That's the type of stuff. That's the type of stuff that I would appreciate. Like just to see just a little. Because I'm going to tell you honestly, like Robert Downey Jr. when he was on his comeback. Kind of, I guess, was that before Iron Man when he did the first Sherlock movie?
No, Sherlock
movie?
Was after
No,
Iron
after
Man.
Iron Man.
Okay. Well, he was that whole, you know, that rebuilding of Robert Downey
back.
Jr. So,
yeah.
But that was, I really enjoyed those movies. I was wanting another one. I mean, for one, it was, oh my God, who was it? Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch.
Yeah, it was Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie, yeah. And I really enjoyed those movies.
I know they talked about a third one. I think it was just more of a schedule thing and because he's been locked up in Iron Man for the past.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So. Yeah.
And it's not just I mean, he's you know, he's Avengers. He's in he's basically in all of them, isn't he?
He's in everything.
Yeah.
At this
now
point.
He's in Spider-Man, you know.
He's the thread that keeps the MCU together.
Right.
Which is interesting because I think there was a whole thing about how he wanted a bigger part in the first Avengers movie. He said something, he wanted the first scene to be of him or something. There was a whole thing about it a while back.
Oh, I mean, I could see that. I mean, he would have been the first guy. You know, I mean, he was the guy that kicked off the MCU.
Oh, he was, yes. Well, technically not, actually. Wasn't it? Wasn't? Oh no, you might be right. I can't remember.
Iron Man was the first one.
Well, they still, but they
kind
they,
of
no, because
made
at the very end, at the very end of Hulk,
they did. That was the first scene with Nick Fury.
That was the first scene that ever made any like reference to the Avengers.
But that was Nick Fury at the end of that. But that was the Incredible Hulk.
No.
Nick Fury was at the end of Iron Man. At the end of the Incredible Hulk was.
Was the general and
yes,
Stark.
They met in a bar and he said, "Hey,
yeah,
I'm doing
I'm putting a team together."
Right,
that's what he said. He's saying like, "Hey, I'm putting a team together."
So, but
and
they
that
really
it.
Don't. They don't. But that was the Edward Norton,
Hulk.
But
yeah,
which I thought was a good movie.
Yeah,
it wasn't great.
On. That's still
it wasn't
that's
great,
still,
but it was good. No. I enjoyed it.
But that is still MSU because the general is the same.
Right.
Yes.
They've kept him the same. So that's so. Okay, so Edward Norton is now Mark Ruffalo, but
so I guess
they're keeping
that
story.
The Incredible Hulk. I guess it would have been.
Yeah,
but they don't really acknowledge that as the kickoff. They
no, but they still keep the general the same. Everyone like the character wise, everybody's still as they. It's just the fact that Edward Norton is no longer Edward Norton. It's no longer him. It's Mark Ruffalo. Which when they first announced Mark as being going into the Hulk, I was like, ugh, because the only thing I think I'd seen him in is that 16 going on.
Oh, 13 going 30, on 30.
13, yeah, yeah. 30. Yeah, whatever it's called. And I was like, ugh.
He's like, whatever.
But dude, when he got on there, I was like, oh my God, the casting was amazing.
Well, he's a good supporting actor. I mean, he's kind
he's
of that
great.
Guy because you see him in a lot of movies, like, oh, hey, it's that guy. And sometimes even still, I kind of forget his name because I'm like, oh, Hulk, Dr. Banner. Like, oh, Mark Ruffalo.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
a
like
lot.
Steve Buscemi. He's a great support actor, but I don't think he's ready. He's not really
he's never been a lead. He's always he's a very good character actor.
Yes.
Well, the last thing he did was Boardwalk Empire, which was his kind of first lead. And,
see, I never saw it. I always wanted to watch that. I wanted to watch it, but I never did. And I've still got HBO, so I can go back and they leave everything on there. So you can still go back and catch it. But, something I did was since we're talking about MCU, like so something I read earlier this week was apparently, like Chris Evans did sign on to do one more Captain movie or one more movie as Captain America
that's
he had originally.
Avengers. That's the second part of Infinity
War.
I thought it was I thought it was another one past that. But
I thought he was doing another standalone.
I thought it was supposed to only be like another two movies that he did, which would have been the two Avengers Infinity War movies.
Right.
But then he signed on for like one more.
He had a 5-picture deal, so that's the 3 Captain Americas and I guess the 2 3 Captain Americas and 2 Avengers movies. He's kind of done already. So.
Right. But he said he signed on one more because they were going to wrap it up with his version, I guess, of Captain America. Which then, I guess if they go comic book, I mean, they can make it where Falcon becomes the new Captain America.
Well, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do because for the most part, they're painting themselves into corners as far as actors go because they say they're never going to replace Robert Downey Jr. Like, he is Iron Man and that's...
In the comic books, it's going to be a chick.
Well, now it is a girl. It's a young girl.
It's a young black chick with a big freaking afro.
Who's this?
Yeah, she's got...
In the comic books, they've done it.
But see, that's the good thing about the MCU it being all under the same helm, because now Marvel in the comics can craft in years in advance. They can start crafting these stories so people start grasping onto these new versions of, or new iterations of the characters.
Well, from what I understand, that's what they've started already. I mean, originally Tony Stark was not a wisecracking
comedian.
Very
super misogynistic drug. Yeah. He was an alcoholic.
Misogynist.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was very self-centered. He did not ever.
Well, he's still self-centered, or he wouldn't be Tony Stark.
But even then, I mean, you know, he has a
heart. Well, he's altruistic now. I mean, he still has.
I mean, he's still that.
Right.
You know, he's not the playboy that he was, though. You know.
Right.
Whereas, you know, I mean, Captain America, they pretty much kept him as is. You know, he's very sort of, you know. Freedom and America.
But he's one of those characters. I mean, he can still always. They can always have him come in as a supporting. You know, just pop up in a flick. Tony, just for that anchor. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you don't. But here's the thing with the Infinity Wars. Who knows how they're going to go? I mean, here's the thing. I don't know the comic Infinity Wars. Like, so Brian.
Infinity War was an all hands on deck Marvel.
Right.
Spectacus.
Well, I knew that it was.
It included Spider-Man, that. Included the X-Men. And,
but it was to fight Thanos, right?
But but the reason I'm bringing this up is because with the Infinity Stones, and this is just hypothetical. I'm just coming up with this, like, and these are things I've just kind of thought about. But they could rewrite a character with the Infinity Stones. They could have something in there where basically it alters that individual and. I mean, basically, when you can redo the universe however you want to with these stones,
right?
You could just make that character now somebody else or a younger version, and it's a different actor. You know, almost like a regeneration, you know, with the Doctor.
Kind of what they did with Men in Black 3.
Right, which was a fantastic. I loved it. That was a really good casting with Brolin as a.
Brolin was Tommy Lee.
Yeah. And I mean, and oddly enough, that ties in because he's Thanos. But, you know, and he's going to be Cable. He's all over the place.
He is going to be Cable. I heard. he's two Marvel.
Yeah, but it's two different iterations of Marvel.
I know.
So that's what people hear, and they're like, "Oh, he can't be two different." Yeah, but it's two different Marvel universes.
The Human Torch became Captain America.
Human Torch, yeah, right. It was Captain America. You know.
But he
Deadpool was Deadpool.
It's Green Lantern.
let's not even go down that road there.
Don't make the suit green or animated.
But yeah, that's the thing. So, but now, I mean, you tie in. Okay, so where does the Guardians fit into all this? Now with
having
Guardians
2.
But how does it, so Guardians 2, as we all know, it took place only a couple of months after the original one.
It was kind of soon after.
Yeah.
So now how
maybe
does that
maybe a year
in?
At most.
Well,
I think it was like only a few months.
It
as
wasn't
far as
long.
That, yeah.
It certainly wasn't very long after the Infinity Stone, you know, after they'd gotten rid of Ronan and all that.
Because there was that continuity issue that people were talking about with
and they
Stan
can't
Lee.
Make it... Right. Well, that whole Stan Lee thing I thought was brilliant.
Well, yeah, no, but they...
Well,
but
made
they,
him a Watcher? That was fantastic.
No, it's great that they made him a Watcher because that was a fan theory, but I'm talking about the timeline because he mentions being dressed up as a FedEx man, but that actually, continuity-wise, happens later than what Guardians of the Galaxy was made. So it actually happens after the events in Guardians of the Galaxy was. So he mentioned something that hadn't happened yet in that.
I think in the grand
timeline.
Scheme of the MCU, the fact that we can accept everything as that can happen, we could probably accept that Stan Lee has the power to maybe go through time or just the Watchers are sort of outside of time.
Yeah, I mean, technically he'd be.
But I mean, I don't have a problem with it. But that was the one thing that was mentioned. That, you know, was just a continuity thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but no, because, based on that whole Watcher thing, though, I mean, you know, you want to try and grasp all these different Infinity and everything happening at the same time. He's in them all. And ultimately, Doctor Strange would be happening at the same sort of time as Civil War or, you know, Thor's Ragnarok and all
that.
Well,
actually, watching Doctor Strange last night, I'm only interjecting this real quick. The only thing that places that in MCU timeline is when he gets the phone call when he's driving the car before he wrecks.
That
they mentioned the exosuit that twisted the guy in half, which happened in Iron Man 2.
They said that was not War Machine.
No, not War Machine, but that was remember Hammer.
Okay.
The tech. Remember the suit that Hammer made, and it has the guy inside the suit, and then it just twists and snaps the guy in half.
Yes.
That's Iron Man 2. So I'm thinking that that's when Doctor Strange takes place because they just mentioned that as just happening because they were trying to get him to come in.
And take care
and,
of that.
Yeah, to take care of that
No,
guy.
Wait. There is mention of Stephen Strange.
They mentioned Stephen Strange in
one of the
Captain America 2. Because when they were talking about the targets, Sitwell, when they grabs the... Agent Sitwell, and they brought him to the roof, and they were talking about all the people they were targeting. They were like, "Yeah, we've got a lot of profile targets, like blah 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 blah." Stephen Strange.
Yeah, you're right.
So Doctor Strange would be at that point. He would already be Doctor Strange.
Well, but see, Doctor Strange, he was just a doctor. I mean, he could have still been a doctor. They didn't say he was mythical at that point.
Also, I think you see in the Incredible Hulk when you go on Mr. Blue's computer. Or there was a computer where there is a folder that says Doctor Strange.
Mm.
So there's a lot of little mentions.
Well, see, I've just started medication earlier, so I'm going to go back and watch everything in the MCU this week. I now have my week planned. Yes.
I might actually do the same thing. Yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing. We went camping last weekend.
Yeah. And we were assaulted by coyotes.
We were threatened by coyotes, but we also received some devastating news.
Oh, good God, yes. Oh, man.
Which I figure we probably should just make mention of.
Yeah, let's interject
our
that.
Our obituaries are always one episode off, it seems.
I know.
Yeah, well, it's weird because you and I, Brian, had talked about our kind of enjoyment of course, we're talking about Adam West, you know, a few episodes ago. And it was just weird that it happened so close to his passing.
That was your Gotham episode, wasn't it?
The same thing that happened to, you know, when we were talking about A View to a Kill, and hey, I felt like watching it. I was at an event up at the Hinsdale House, and as always, I mean, I talk about Batman a lot, but I kept making reference to my utility belt, and I made reference to this big flashlight that I had that I shined up at the light, and I'm like, hey, it's the bat signal. Come on, old chum. Like, choom. And there was a lot of Adam West references that weekend, and then again, I wake up, and I find, no.
That was a straight gut punch, man, because we had just gotten a natural bridge.
Yeah.
Didn't we? We were.
Yeah, well, no, so we were on our way to the natural bridge. Yeah.
Right, and you know, then
we just pulled over.
Yeah, I'm looking at Twitter. We were on the side of the road. We were looking at that ravine, and because you had the drone up, but it was it was just a weird thing because I had put on my Batman Under Armour shirt earlier that day.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I just really want to, you know, for some reason it was between that and another shirt, and I opted to wear the Batman shirt. I just felt like wearing it, and then reading that, I was like, man, it just kind of carries more of a symbol. Of you know, just honor for the character.
Well,
but,
this having happened, now that Adam West has passed, I hope NBC thinks it over and airs those last few episodes of Powerless, especially the one with Adam West
in it. Oh man, was he supposed to be in it?
Yeah, I believe it was filmed.
Oh man, that would be great. I would love them to just finish out the season. Just put it on Hulu. Just put it on Hulu for us to watch. You know, because I think just a proper way to send that out. But I tell you what was weird. So, and I told Paul about this because it was just an experience that I had. You know, I usually have, like, I connect with people oddly through T-shirts that I wear. I don't know why, but it's always been a connecting point. And wearing the Batman shirt. So we're on what was it called? A sky lift?
We just got to the top of the sky lift.
Yeah, so it took us from the bottom all the way up this side of this cliff to where we can get to this natural bridge, which is this huge stone structure that goes across this ravine. And I'm going up there and I'm recording on the camera. And I got it recorded. I didn't record the guy, but I got the conversation recorded because I was doing some footage as we're going up and I'm hanging from this thing because I'm kind of freaked out by heights a little bit, and it's bouncing and da da da. So this guy, he comes by and he's like, "Hey man, nice shirt." And I'm like, and I look over and he's wearing a Batman shirt, the black with the yellow bat symbol too. And I look, and I was like, "Hey, likewise, man." And he kind of looks at me. I was like, "Did you hear about Adam West passing away today?" And he's like, and this is as we're traveling past each other on this thing. You know, we have no control over it. As we're traveling past each other, and all of a sudden you just see a look on his face just drop. And he's like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, he passed away this morning." And his wife, she just responds back, and she's like, "Are you serious?" I was like, "Unfortunately, yeah, I am." And you just hear him as we're passing, and now they're behind me, and I'm heading up this thing, and they're heading back. But it's okay, just that moment.
Well, this just in about 2 hours ago on Variety.com, which is, you could pretty much trust it for entertainment news.
Right.
DC releases unaired Powerless episode featuring Adam West. DC
has
decided to release an unaired episode of Powerless featuring Adam West. They announced on Twitter that West's unaired episode would be available for a limited time through their DC All Access channel. It's also available in its entirety on DC Entertainment's YouTube channel. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go to YouTube after this.
Definitely
and check it
head
out.
Over to YouTube and check it out. I want to watch that this weekend. That's I'll watch it tonight, actually. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad that they did that. Oh, man. But it was also super cool that they did the in LA, they did the Bat Signal.
Yes. Did you see that? Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it, and they had Burt Ward come out, and he's like, "Hello, citizens!" And I was like, "Oh, this is so great!" But I mean, it was just celebrating his life.
Oh, you know, that's nice.
Yeah, and it was just a fantastic thing, and I mean, it did. Like, it still bums me just thinking about it. I mean, even though I had no connection to the guy whatsoever, right. I mean, I'd still, you have this emotional connection, you know, just from all the years of just, you know, watching it and the joy that it brought and just...
Speaking of joy, I'm on this website, and, you know, one of the sidebar stories is John G. Avildsen, director of Rocky, dies at 81. That happened today, too.
Oh, wow.
So he directed Rocky, Rocky V, and The Karate Kid, which is pretty much Rocky.
Right.
Man.
I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of movies that are Rocky, like 8 Mile with Eminem. That's Rocky.
You know, I've never watched that movie.
It's Rocky. I can't bring myself to watch it.
I'm gonna knock you out with my rhymes.
Like substitute boxing with rap battles, and that it's, right. There you go.
Yeah, I guess now I'm gonna have to watch it just so I can make the comparison. But yeah, that's man. I don't know.
Yeah. That was a
now,
play.
Now I think we're all bummed.
A little bit.
talking about that again. But, yeah. You know, the thing, you know, he had some great stuff. I mean, like, you know, me and Brian and I had talked about, you know, just the whole Batman movie. And one of my favorite things was the bat shark repellent.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And, the scene, just watching just this that giant scene, yeah. Shark on his leg.
Yeah, and that, and the then helicopter. Someday, and then the bomb scene. Those are the two most defining.
Can't get rid of a bomb.
Those two most defining scenes, I think, of that movie. but like, you know, I enjoyed just that rogues gallery and the actors that they had playing those, just the villains. I mean, that show was just fantastic. And you had Burgess Meredith as the Penguin. You had Sid Caesar as the Joker. You had Frank Gorshin as the Riddler, Eartha Kitt, and who else was it?
You had them all.
Right, but
you had all of them.
But you had two different women that played Catwoman, Eartha Kitt and then...
Julie Newmar,
that's okay. Her, and then, of course, you had, what was it, Vincent Price as Egghead. And there was other, I'm just trying to pull a different one. You had King Tut. I mean, just a myriad of characters. It was so ridiculous and fun, but it was just so bright and zany. And it was just, I think a great,
it was super campy.
That was what was so fun with it. And
there
was
no fake muscle suits.
Right. And it was the detective Batman. It was the detective Batman.
Everything in that suit was grade AA West.
And I'm telling you what, I think we need a nod to that in the new. I think there needs to be a Batman with those colors.
There needs to be an Under Armour in that sort of grayish purple.
If you go back in the comic book version of Batman in the 60s, 70s, you had the bluish cowl, and then you had the gray, bodysuit. So I would love to see that in a live action version. I mean that. Iteration of Batman lived for years, and now we have is just this dark armored bat. I think I would just like to see one of those suits.
Well, there was to that, you know, version. What? There was, and it was a fan made thing, and it's actually, I think it's just called Grayson. And if you can find it on YouTube, it's well worth watching because it's all, unfortunately, it's based around the fact that Batman is killed. And Robin, Dick Grayson, he essentially goes insane trying to find the killer. Oh, but it has like the Joker, like
It's not made off of any story.
No,
it's their own story. Okay,
it's their own story. But dude, it's so good that I finished it. I was like, wait, this has to be an actual movie, surely? Mm-hmm. You know, they've got Superman, it's got Wonder Woman, it's got Catwoman, it's got the Penguin, it's got the Joker, but they're all from sort of the Adam West era. So the costumes are all based around that stuff in the sort of today's world. It's so very, very good.
I'll tell you, one of the other fan films that had a really good version of a Batman costume, like they had the scrunched up cowl and they almost had the whited out eyes. they use contacts or something like that for it. But it was a Batman versus Predator. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, actually, I think that I still have that on disc.
That was really good. It is a really good fan film. Was it
Predator or was it Alien?
It was Predator.
Okay, because I saw the one with Alien where, like, he's confronting the Joker in an alley, and then all of a sudden the alien shows up. It's like, what?
But that's the same one. That's the Predator. It's Predator. We're going to need some... I'm on my phone doing this, so I don't want to screw up the call.
I thought it
was
Alien. I mean, it could very well be multiple ones, because I've seen the one that... And this one was really well done. It was Batman versus Darth Vader.
That was incredibly good. That was Bat in the Sky Studios. It was so... But they had two different endings. They had one ending where Darth Vader straight up kills Batman.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is just fantastic.
Snaps his neck.
Just snaps and drops him. But then you have the new other version where he saves Superman, and Superman comes in and just destroys everything.
Destroys Vader.
What?
It takes a Kryptonian to do it, huh?
Yep, it does. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
You can't put Vader against Batman. And have Batman win. That's just stupid. I'm just telling you, that's just stupid.
The fact that Batman whipped out a lightsaber, I'm like, just force choke him. Just do it.
Right.
Come on, just do it right now.
Why are you waiting?
But it was good. I thought that was very
well. It was really good. But the fact that Batman hits him with the EMP and shuts down his respirator.
And he says something to it, and he goes,
don't worry, the force will sustain me. He uses the force to keep him alive while he's not able to. I was like, that's just badass. You tapped into the force so you can breathe until your suit comes back online.
That's just great.
But it's still never that version
of the Batman suit. I was saying, just never getting to see it. But all in all. Hey, if you get a chance, also look up a video called Laundry Day.
Oh, is that Laundry the Punisher? Day.
That's the Punisher one, yeah. Hmm. With Tom Janes.
And I remember this.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that.
We did talk about this because when I was driving on my way to New York, I was like, hey, right. And I remember you saying, hey, watch right. Laundry
yeah.
Day.
Laundry no, Day. It's brilliant.
I'm going to make a note of that. So I can go back and watch it. Dude, you said that last time.
So you lied.
But I'm really making a note. Hey, I did. I lied.
Right, well, there will be questions. Next time we do this, there will be a quiz.
Let's go to the audio tape.
God, damn it. You guys, you know how my day has gone so far just trying to get on here and record. Sometimes, hang on, get away from me.
Mr. I'm going on vacation again.
Okay, I am on vacation now, but it was just getting to the moment of being on vacation. I've still got Chinese food that is now over 2 hours old that I haven't eaten.
It's okay, because with Chinese food, even after an hour, you're going to be hungry again.
Exactly.
But this is green bean chicken with some steamed rice and an egg roll, and it's got peppers in it, and it's got like a brown gravy sauce.
Brown gravy sauce for Chinese? It's
pretty good.
It's Americanized.
Yeah, all of it is. You go order a General Tso's chicken in China, and they're going to look at you like you're nuts, because it doesn't exist. That's American Chinese food. Egg Foo Young, that's American Chinese. Come on. Wow. All right. So Laundry Day.
The Kamushangan guy?
Oh, no. Abort mission.
You said Laundry Day is the name of it, correct?
Laundry Day, yes.
Laundry Day.
Look up Grayson if you can find it. Grayson.
All right, I'm writing down.
I think you're really gonna like that. Honestly, you're gonna text me the second you've watched it, going, "Holy shit!"
Okay.
I probably will. Yeah, the Grayson one. I think honestly, if Brian, if you haven't seen it, you'll appreciate it as well, just because of the sheer, the cinematic.
There's a lot of good fan stuff out there right now, and I remember maybe a decade ago. The fan stuff you could tell was fan stuff. Now you can. It looks like stuff that came from the studio. I sent you guys a bunch of Star Wars links to fan films, and I was blown away.
There is a fan film. I don't know if it was. There was a fan film that's a Star Wars one, and it's basically it tracks Darth Maul.
Yes,
that is a really good one.
I think Darth Maul Apprentice. It was called.
Yeah, it is. That is really. That's like the moment before Episode One take place, or something like that. I believe.
And the last one that came out with Han Solo.
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen that one.
Wait, I might know. No, that might be an SNL skit.
It was interesting because, like, the guy they picked to play young Han Solo, straight on, kind of doesn't look like him too much. But when
does
you
he run
that,
into a cave?
Yes.
Yes, and I did see
when
that.
You get that profile shot, you're like, whoa. Yeah. Oh, that's Han Solo.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, do you know what the name of that one is?
I think it was like Han Solo Smuggler or Smuggler's Bounty, something like that.
Oh my goodness. Okay. It wasn't one you posted then? How did I see that? I don't know.
It very well might have been because like it had just come out and he's collecting a bounty on someone or very Indiana Jones. Like he got some trinkets.
It was pre-Greedo. I mean, it could have even been.
He tricked the guy. He pretended to force grab a lightsaber and you're like, what? But like he had this big electromagnetic
on his arm
in his sleeve.
And I'm telling you, I still think. Never mind. I'm not going to get into it right now.
He still thinks Solo's alive.
I do think Solo's alive.
I listened to our old episodes, so I heard this already just the other day. So
no,
yeah,
but
save it.
I think Han Solo was force strong just a little bit.
Could be.
Yep.
He doesn't believe in the Force.
He doesn't believe. That doesn't make you just because you don't believe in it doesn't make it not true.
Well, yeah, it does, because we've already discussed the fact that there's a guy who isn't force sensitive.
There's a reason I bring that up.
All right, dude, we've been teasing this for months now, and I don't think I could wait till December to hear this. All right, let's just hear this.
I'm not going to go on to the whole...
I'm going to blow your load for you. Han Solo is alive. Why?
No!
There it is, all over your stomach. Why?
I wasn't going to do it.
All over your stomach.
Anybody got a Kleenex?
In your face, up your nose. Come on, what's it?
Why? It's out now. It's out, so... Dude, the planet blew up. Why is he alive?
I'm sorry. He made a callback to something that he shouldn't have made a callback to.
Okay, so.
Anyway, I got tears in my eyes.
Don't think you're changing the subject. Come on.
No, should I do this now? I didn't want to do this. I was just talking about why I think he's force strong.
The audience wants to know.
Nobody wants to know this. It's going to be so buried. It's gonna be so buried in an episode. Nobody's gonna make it to this point.
So what do you
want?
Like, what do you want to do? I'll edit everything up until this.
No, whatever. I don't care.
The episode is gonna start with this.
Okay, so the only reason I'm saying here, the only reason I was actually starting is because I was saying that Han Solo has force powers. For one, him and Leia have Kylo Ren, which is super strong with the Force. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean it couldn't come straight from her or whatever. But one of the things that I allude to with that is because there was a scene in The Force Awakens where, I mean, Han Solo has pulled off some crazy shit through all the movies. That would take somebody making, you know, Jedi type moves, you know, with some of the stuff. And, you know, for one, the meteor field in Empire, when he comes out of the worm and stuff like that.
He's got some maneuvers.
Right. Got that. But so the reason I'm alluding to this.
He's moving to the left.
No.
Wow, that guy knows a few maneuvers.
Yeah, no, but getting out of that. But here's the reason. And I never thought this before this moment. But the only reason I was like, holy shit. And it put the thought in my head. And I didn't have it until The Force Awakened. Was the fact that when they were. When the First Order comes in and attacks and they get Rey. And they're on that planet. I cannot remember the name of the planet for the life of me, but it's the first time that him and Leia see each other when she lands.
Yeah.
And it's shortly after the whole traitor scene.
Right.
You know, with the stormtrooper.
Oh, when he doesn't even aim.
Doesn't even look.
Stormtrooper?
Doesn't even aim. Doesn't even look. All right, he just turns, puts the gun out, blasts a stormtrooper straight in the chest, dead, turns, pulls the gun, and starts shooting the other direction. Go back and watch it. He never takes a look. And at that moment, I'm watching this December 17th, you know, 2015, you know, first showing, it hasn't even been out. I'm sitting there watching it and like, hold on, what? Why do I have, I just had this thought.
That could even just be like, maybe it was something that happened that they can now write into the story, but it's almost like with Indiana Jones, with the whole swordman scene. That was ad-libbed, you know.
Yes, it was.
Han Solo. Harrison Ford just said, boom, like, why wouldn't I shoot him? So he did
but
that.
The thing
so
that brings...
was probably just the fact that they got Harrison Ford to reprise Han Solo after all these years was, amazing, but they probably gave him so much leeway to be like, Harrison, do what you want.
Well, but it was reinforced after Rogue One. when you have Chirrut Imwe, who is not a Force wielder, but he has Force, you know, he has the ability to tap into the Force.
So this begs the question, what does this have to do with Han surviving? Because, hey, everybody could do bravery things, and it doesn't need to be the Force, right, so why is Han alive? Don't get us away from this.
But see, I wasn't planning, that's, okay, so, damn it, now you're making me go down the road. So anyway, I think Han Solo is still alive. I think Han Solo is still alive because the saber through the front of the body wasn't a fatal blow. And the reason I even go there is because Darth Maul is a prime example. Problem is, people that haven't watched anything beyond the movies is going to be like, Darth Maul, what are they talking about? Darth Maul is still alive.
Right.
Yes, he was in the Rebels, stories.
But Naboo didn't blow up, so...
Right, well, God damn it, just give me a minute! Yeah. So, it carterizes. He wasn't fatal. You know, because you're in this moment, you're in this moment where it's very much painted by the lighting in the scene itself. It goes from blue to red because the sun blacking out. And so it's this weird transition where it's almost a moment where you feel like Kylo Ren has gone back to the light side and he's actually asking for help. Like you feel like he's asking for help. And then
He definitely is. He's struggling not to do the bad thing, but he's struggling because he wants to do the bad thing, but is feeling regret and remorse.
But it's the moment, it's the thing that Han Solo says to him. He's like, and I'm paraphrasing because I cannot remember verbatim what he said. He looks at him and he goes, you know that Snoke will destroy you once he gets what he wants. And you see the look on his face, like he realizes at that moment that that's what Snoke is going to do that. And he knows... But he still has this pull to the light side. And he even says it before that. He says, I feel this pull to the light side, which you normally don't hear that from a character. You usually hear them say, I have a pull to the dark side or something evil. He's got this very profound pull to the light side. So in that scene, it's like, does he suddenly realize that he needs to? But he has to pull off the greatest ruse ever by convincing Snoke that he has killed his father. In order to get in his graces and get close enough to him to be able to take him down or do whatever.
See, that would require Kylo Ren betting that the heroes will win and blow up Starkiller Base.
Or that he just wanted to kill Snoke before Snoke killed him.
But he also didn't want to kill his dad. His father falls off the gantry into who knows what. Maybe he falls into a pile of feathers, but the planet still blows up.
Right, hold on. Just let me get you asked me to start on this path. let me get through this path. So the whole thing, so he's on the thing. Immediately it happens. Everybody in the theater gasps. I gasp. I've got my mouth agape. I'm sitting there watching it. Yeah. And then he falls. He falls off of the ledge. And then moments later, I'm like, he's not dead. Just this gut. And it's not like this denial of what I've just seen, this beloved character falling and dying. But it's just this whole idea is like, no body, no death. You know, he falls off of it. But then the moment is like, so then you go back and you watch the scene and it's like, Kylo was distracted by something, by him falling. I'm not
Chewbacca.
Saying, I've got multiple different ways in which this could happen. That
he was
I've
distracted
hypothesized.
By Chewbacca shooting him.
Yeah, Chewbacca him.
Shoots him. But if he is so attuned with everything, he should have been able to block the shot, but he's concentrated on something else. And even the fact that he just killed his father. We saw this at the beginning of the movie. He stops a laser blast in the air. You're telling me that he can't catch his father as he's falling and move him off into another area to where he can get out?
He probably survived the fall. I mean, Luke did it, didn't he? He jumped down and
he ended
up sliding.
Saying. But if he is Force strong, which hasn't gotten to yet, can he control his fall using the Force as kind of like a reactionary a reflex?
I don't think so, because do you remember the scene where he's running? He runs like an old man.
I understand that, but that's because he's an old man and he's running. Exactly. But I'm talking about in the fantasy realm of Star Wars, where he's falling, and if he was to be able to tap into the Force, or the Force is in some control of that. But, so, that was just, that's one possibility, in which Kylo actually is good, and he kind of catches him. And he's concentrating, which allows Chewbacca to then get the shot and hit him in his side and wounding him. So then there's that possibility. And then, or say that he just happened to make the fall and none of that happened and Kylo is just straight evil. and Han just happens to fall, and he's able to somehow land somewhere and
it's
get
possible. That's
himself
definitely
to the
possible.
Side. Then maybe he's able to make it to a ship in order to be able to get off of the Starkiller base. Or because now we also are missing Phasma. You know, is Phasma, you know, maybe who's like
well,
the whole.
Well, we know she's in the next movie, so
we do
she
know
she's
in the next one. Yeah.
Right. But then it's the idea of, you know, did she. Maybe if he lands somewhere, did, you know. And again, these are all just random ideas that I'm having. But the possibility that. There is a possibility that he could survive that. Because right. I say that the saber, it was not a swiping, it was a straight through. And right. it wasn't slicing it, but it cauterizes. So
yes,
whatever
it
hit is cauterized. And it wasn't through the heart. It was low and
so,
up high in the
so
back.
So Han has a new hole in his body.
he could. But they have the back to tanks to be able to... you're looking at Vader, who you see him in shambles and pieces. You see Luke
and he's
coming
alive.
Back. You know, I mean, there's their technology to keep people alive is
yeah
is see, tremendous.
I was expecting
tremendous for a galaxy so far away.
Well, but
somewhere
I was
in
expecting
the past.
A bigger explanation, something more but next
I'm,
level.
But I'm not done.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, but then there's also the idea of the whole fan theory. What if Luke? Who is out there foresees all this happening through the Force, like he does with it, you know, what
right.
he does in other movies, and sees that this is going to happen. So, say he sends somebody to save Han in the fall that he already plans to have, you know, knowing somebody else or knowing that this is going to happen, he has somebody there to retrieve him.
Oh, you know, man, you are stretching.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, it is a stretch, but I'm just saying. Just, I mean, he can see the stuff in the four. And I've told you all this before, and you're now acting surprised.
That's like
you haven't told me this.
That's like your Batman underoos from when you were five. You're wearing them now. You're stretching them, buddy.
Right. Oh, I'm stretching them. But here's the thing. But I'm talking about. Okay, so idea wise, so J.J. Abrams has now made a movie that he's gambling on. We didn't know, and he didn't know. He even said he was unsure if anybody was going to receive it in a warm welcome. So. You know, and how the movie was going to go.
I feel like
but
killing Han was the boldest move in a movie that was pretty much lukewarm.
It was very bold.
And it really, it wasn't even bold because it just echoed the death of Obi-Wan in A New Hope. So
right.
major important character
but
gets
here's
killed.
The other thing. But here's the other thing. So say the movie did fail.
Right.
Say it didn't do what they expected it to. Right. It's Star Wars. It's going to make money. But say it didn't. And now, again, this is all based on the fact of before Carrie Fisher passing away, my idea in this. So what if, you know, and this may not come to fruition, but it's the whole idea that, say, this movie didn't do that well, but the next movie suddenly, or the movie, the last movie, suddenly you have, who wouldn't pay all the money to see Han, Luke, and Leia on screen together, which we did not see. Who wouldn't
right.
pay all the money? I'm talking money. Now, this is a business move by Disney to make all the money to have Han, Luke, and Leia on screen together again. After you think he's dead.
How we doing? Same as always. That bad, huh?
Right. But see, this is what I'm saying. So, I mean, you have to look at however that came to fruition. That is the thing that's going to guarantee them people to come see the movie
That's a business choice. Let's take it back to the story for a second. Mm-hmm. Right after Han falls, Leia feels it.
Right.
So that's almost like, okay, she feels
that's
the,
almost
the,
a confirmation
this,
of
that's
his
the
death.
Disturbance but, in the Force, and she's not reaching out with her Force powers
also,
going, levitate, husband, levitate.
No, but I'm not saying Luke levitated him.
No, but
I feel like
her... Those shots are justification of the end of Solo's life force.
Or she feels what happened because it is their son.
So it's a gut punch.
It's for one, they feel right. she feels the switch they whatever happened with her son at the same time of what's going on with Han. So she's getting double hit. But she has always not been I don't think she's been as strong in the Force, but at least that we've seen as Luke. I mean, Luke dedicated
right.
his life to being a Jedi Knight.
She goes, "You have a power I could never." I could
right.
never have.
Well, have we decided if Luke's
but,
a gray Jedi yet?
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking they're heading towards. I'm thinking they're heading
right.
towards the gray, or whatever Ahsoka Tano, when she fought Vader in Star Wars Rebels, and he goes, and he says something about being a Jedi, or no Jedi can kill me, and she goes, I'm no Jedi. And I mean, she's basically, and the Bendu also is also outside of the light side, dark side dichotomy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's in the middle.
But, wasn't Qui-Gon Jinn?
Qui-Gon Jinn, he was a Jedi.
Qui-Gon was a Jedi, but he was straight Jedi. They kicked him off the council because of his kind of radical thoughts.
Right. Well, he was the first one to know that they can come back as Force ghosts.
Right.
Some of the ideas. I mean, and the fact that Han could have made it, he could have made it off if it wasn't a fatal shot. If he could, these are all again hypotheticals. I would like to believe.
Yeah,
that he's
it's definitely possible. And of course, no one would like to see Han Solo alive. I think this is just more your, than
this is
I would.
Like your, this is like your erotic fan fiction.
But yeah, this is my. I'm sitting here. I was thinking all of this while I was slathered in oil.
Yeah, this is where Rob writes himself in a story. He's like, and I'm a traitor, and I fly by, and I see Han's body floating out in the air, and I save him, and
no, but
and then we kiss.
I never said that. I never said that. Now you guys are just taking. Now you guys are just poking fun at it, just to be dicks. Just to be dicks.
Total dick bird.
It's a classic dick bird.
Classic dick bird.
Classic dick bird. so the whole fanfic thing, like the whole, oh man, that would have just been the moment. So say Luke had hired Boba Fett.
Oh my God.
Everybody knows. This is what I'm saying. This is the absurd. Oh,
five people in the universe.
Again, now you all are like, oh, now you're coming up with it. No, this has been in my head since I saw the movie in 2015.
I was saying, no one would love Han Solo alive more than I would, but I feel like... It happened in cartoons when we were kids. Like you thought the main character was dead. Oh no, he's fine. It's like when they kill a main character, I respect it when they stay dead.
Yeah, it cheapens it.
I do too, and I would hope. And I would hope that they wouldn't play the heartstrings thing.
Yeah,
but
honestly,
I
think you have a good point with the whole bringing them all on screen at the same time. And I suspect that they'll probably they won't now. I was going to say maybe they'll do the Force Ghost thing. And that would be how you would do it.
Right. But it's like but
at the end.
I really do feel that he was connected with the Force. And as I said, it was reiterated because of the cheer at Imwe. You know, he did some shots. He shot some people in Rogue One. And you're like, he's blind and he's using the Force and he's making some incredible shots. And I was like,
but Dead does the same thing.
But, I'm not saying it's defining, but I'm just saying the possibility is there.
No,
I've seen it in another character.
I understand what you're saying.
Unexpectedly got me to go off on the Han Solo thing, I wasn't prepared to say it. That's why everything came out muddled, and I was trying to do it on the fly.
That's good though.
I thought given all the teasing we've had these months, I thought there would be some M. Night Shyamalan-esque type explanation where I was like, oh man, I didn't even see that. But I mean, you made valid points.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was fantastic that was out of the realm of, oh my God, that where'd you get that from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't do that.
Right. But it was just different little strings from different movies,
right.
Different, you know, things that I'm like, okay, this kind of, and it strengthened it. Like I said, when I saw stuff in like Rogue One, you know, to the whole thing, him
Rogue
being
One was
Force strong.
So good. Like I watched, somebody posted a reaction video for Rogue One where the guy's taping his girlfriend. She's watching the end of Rogue One and she's in tears like, Oh my god, is that the ship? her reaction was amazing.
And I'm gonna be honest, very few movies affect me emotionally. That one affected me when Vader very much when he appeared and that whole scene happened. Like I was just jacked. I was like, oh my god, this is just it's just awesome. But I'm gonna eat my 5-hour-old Chinese food now.
it gets longer every time. It's like, oh, my 3-day-old Chinese food.
But
that's almost as good as the shitty beer.
Man, that beer was good. You shut your face. I bought this Chinese food at 8:00.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well.
All right. So it's going on 4 hours. So
at
12:30, you will be hungry.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Right.
It comes back alive at midnight.
Oh god.
And with that, we're gonna have to put a pin in this subject because there's so many other things to talk about. For right now, the Senate is gonna have to come to a closed session. For more geek nerdery, make sure you search for 3 Geek Senate on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Or you can follow us on social media. Simply follow at 3 Geek Senate. That's the number 3 Geek Senate. Whether it's your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
and we need you to go to iTunes and please subscribe. It's free. We need you to give us a review, 5 stars if you could, and share with your friends and let us know what you think.
My name is Brian J. Cano.
And I am Paul Bradford.
And I'm Robert Buxar.
And we will see you next time on The Senate Floor. Good night, everybody.